It is a Thursday morning. Good morning. And it's an episode of Dualistic Unity Raw. It's morning where we are. It's noon Eastern time. It's some other time somewhere else. Doesn't really matter. I guess the point is we're getting started. Good morning and welcome.
Great to see everyone. happy Thursday morning. And yeah, we're here. We just had a little bit of pineapple
Express.
Expression.
Smoked a rather large cannon, actually.
Oh yes, yeah, a big boy, and it was tasty. Really,
fruity, it was tasty. That vibe. Shit's great, though. Expect in about 5-10 minutes for this conversation to go right off the rails, but it could get super insightful too, which is something I always look forward to. I had a lot of fun yesterday, man. Yeah. I got to say, we did a strain review, Pedro's Sweet Sativa, and I got to say. And I say it numerous times in the video, actually, just rolls off the tongue. It's actually quite nice. You actually envision some dude named Pedro. You know, I don't even know what Pedro looks like. To me, he's just a shadowy figure underneath a dope looking pot plant. And I feel connected to this person at the moment because he grew this sweet strain. I don't know. It could be just a made up name as well. But the point is that we did a weed review for Pedro's Sweet Sativa, which is grown by Color Cannabis here in Canada. And it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. We went for a walk. What I'm finding is that a lot of the reviews are skewing more towards, you know, how do you deal with being high? Rather than what's the high like? Because it really comes down to, you know, what you're doing and kind of the person you are and how you're used to thinking and all that. But there are certain tools that help. You know, there was one, you know, the more you're worried about being high, the harder it is to be high. That's super important. It kind of goes across the board when you are dabbling with cannabis. And so it was kind of nice to throw that into a review because that's kind of the question that we get the most from people. How do you guys deal with just being high like that all the time? And there are tools, there are insights, there are things that you can develop for yourself that you start to recognize that the difference between being quote unquote sober and being quote unquote high is really just your pace. And that with a slower pace comes more awareness and more considerations, and thus a greater need to remain relaxed. And so if you're not recognizing that, then it can just feel like you're getting swept around every time you see a thought and you panic, you're like, oh my God. And then you calm down, you're like, it's okay. It's okay. Oh my God. And then it's okay. And then it's just this back and forth and back and forth. But if you know what's happening, if you're actually aware, like, oh, right. I'm just going through more awareness. You know, I'm just dealing with more things. My priorities have shifted. I'm no longer looking in the narrow scope of the tunnel vision that I have when I'm trying to get through a day and get my task list done because what it means about my life. Now I'm actually just here and there's a lot that goes with that. And so it's been really fun to discuss some of that in these reviews. This one for Pedro's Sweet Sativa, got to say it again, is going to be up on Instagram in the next 15 to 20 minutes, hopefully, if it ever finishes uploading. And would love to get your feedback. Done rambling now.
Yeah, Pedro and currently the Pineapple Express. It's been fun, certainly. And the
it was the size of my finger.
Yeah, it was a big boy. To even just the experience of cannabis and just being willing to, you know, relax as you go and like, yeah, settle into the experience and just express, but also, you know, continue to see or realize or understand yourself a little bit more, or at least what you could be, not even what you could be, but just the opportunity to realize that, you know, even though maybe you see that you're not what you think you are, like you're still the forefront of your own experience, and like what kind of experience do you want to have? What sort of experience do you want to express or to have influence on? And it's not even it's not even like a way of expressing yourself. It's just how much control you're trying to maintain, or how much you are, you know, letting go. And there's different ways that we express that, you know, like trying to maintain that control. It doesn't actually give it to you. It doesn't actually, you know, allow you to have it. So it's, it's been the getting high and being on the reviews and calls and everything has been exciting for me. It's been an enjoyable up and down experience.
It's certainly immersive.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah. Straight up. We had a question here. I catch myself spiraling constantly. The things I say in those points, I almost always regret it. So here's something I wanted to throw out there, because again, this kind of goes towards what we're trying to do with regret. You know, we're looking at regret, and we're thinking about ourselves, we're doing all that. And what we're missing is what's happening now, which later we'll look back at and regret and then miss that. And it becomes this vicious loop. And so perhaps, and this is just a thought, perhaps there will always be something. Perhaps you'll always do something that you can regret. Perhaps for the rest of your life, you're going to leave a trail of things that you could possibly regret immediately behind you. Are you going to regret them all? How much time would you like to waste exactly? Because that's what you're doing. You can regret or you can learn. Learning is just the recognition of perhaps where you weren't paying attention and how you can pay attention now. But regret is all about you. Regret is about you judging yourself and focusing on your idea of yourself and looking back at the past and saying, I could have done better and doing all that, despite the obvious that you couldn't have because you didn't know any better. And if you're like, well, I did know better, but I made the choice not to, then obviously you didn't know better. You can do this shit all day, but the fact is you did what you did because of what you were at the time. Now you're something else. So are you something that's going to waste your time and regret? Is that what you've learned? What are you learning from regret exactly? All you're really learning from regret is that there's going to be more regret because you're missing more shit. Just let it go. It's not about you. You didn't do anything wrong. It's not that you've done anything wrong. Sure, there are things you could have done better, quote unquote better, things you could have done more efficiently with less damage, right? Things that you could have done with a little bit more self-awareness, a little bit more empathy, possibly, sure. But that's stuff we learn. That's what comes through being hurt and hurting others and getting feedback and being in conflict and doing all that. We learn these things. And we learn them through the things that we commonly regret and then don't learn from, because we're too busy beating ourselves up to start paying attention with the new lesson. Just let go.
Yeah, because if you continue to focus on all of those things or certain ways that you did things or have done things, it's the same exact mechanism. It's still not paying attention. And if not paying attention was the thing that, you know, got you in those spots or those situations, then the shift is just paying attention, just and taking action accordingly and taking responsibility for, you know, the situations that you're going through and fully and wholeheartedly paying attention, because it was, you know, the continued lack of paying attention that really caused that regret. And so, but focusing on it is the same sort of, it's the same thing. It's the same not paying attention, because there's a lot of ways we can not pay attention to what's going on. We can focus, and it's focusing on ourselves that really causes it. And, you know, our wants or preferences or whatever we think we want. And a lot of times that's just the thing that makes us more comfortable, as opposed to paying attention, you know, because paying attention to what you want or what should be or what you wish or what you wanted isn't paying attention to what's actually happening. Like, it's the same. And again, you don't know how the future is going to play out anyway. And so focusing on anything that you may regret, it's like, it makes it far more difficult to make change, to actually change, to actually do things differently. Cause it's like, you're kind of only doing one thing at a time. So if you're regretting, it's tougher to recognize. It's tougher to pay attention. It's like, it's either regret that's in the way, or you're paying attention and then it's not there, but you're only doing one of the things. And so if you're regretting, you're not simultaneously paying attention. If you're thinking something should change or be different, you're not simultaneously paying attention. And, you know, there are points where, you know, I'll wonder, but how, you know, how do I be myself? How do I, you know, properly express myself? And it's just not being in conflict with, I don't mind what happens. And there can be certain things that are, I don't know, seem more deeply rooted with that, like, oh, but not that, you know, those sorts of things. It's like, not minding what happens is not minding what happens. And then there's very little conflict with whatever is going on, whether it's the micro or the macro.
So, yeah, well said. Would you say that we're always learning, but we focus so much on the false image of ourselves that it actually hinders us from what's going on always? You know, that's a tricky question. I wouldn't actually say that it hinders us, but it apparently hinders us, because you could block out all of the stuff that you're taking on, right? And I think that actually contributes to some of the conflict that we feel. I think that we keep going with this stagnant idea of ourselves, but as we're going, we're taking on new information.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden it's like, it's building up, and in the background, we know we have to change, but mm-hmm. it's like conflicting, and we don't want mm-hmm. to, but then all of a sudden we're like, oh, life is testing me. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you've just taken in enough information now that you have no choice. You can't ignore it anymore. You have to let it in, right? And I think that's very much it. So I wouldn't say that it hinders us. I think it just hinders our ability to appreciate it, and it hinders our ability to flow with it gracefully. I think that the lessons kind of pile up and then hammer us in the face, as opposed to just being like kind of an ebb and a flow that would normally happen if we weren't clinging to an idea of ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think growth is inevitable, is what I'm saying. And not only do I think growth is inevitable, I think that growth is collective. I don't think it's just your growth, because there is no you, there is no me, there is just what is. And I think that although we take individual possession of that, the only thing we really get the gift of doing is, once again, kind of influencing how we experience that. We don't actually get to experience or get to have any say over experiencing it at all, just how we experience it. You can fight tooth and nail through your whole fucking life. You're still going to change and serve your purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. And because the focus on, like, the idea of yourself, even the sense of knowing yourself or being able to maintain that sense of self feels like a comfortable certainty. But then it's like, do our best to almost make that play out, no matter what sort of story we're telling ourselves. It's just even having, you know, a less or seemingly less than positive, it's still a focus on yourself, but maintaining that or trying to maintain that, there is a comfort in that, you know, knowing something with your mind or through your mind, like knowing that thing for sure, like it seems like something that you can always go back to. And so as you continue to shift and change, which you've always been doing. And so any idea or any culmination of the ideas has never been you. But as you continue to shift and change, it's like you sometimes can become at conflict or feel at conflict with a new, like recognizing how much you've changed. And so you almost counteract that with going back to like, or feeling back to, I don't know, previous ideas, or just realizing that those previous ideas haven't really, because it's always just been your own ideas. And so previous ideas may be actually closer to what the reality has been. It was just a personally shifting and changing idea that's gone through. And so, yeah, trying to maintain a perspective yourself, can, I feel like, definitely gives the feeling of slowing of change, but yeah, like the change is happening still. It just feels slower because it's like holding on to that perspective yourself, but it's still happening one way or another. It's just how at odds with it are you? And then that's kind of, I don't know, seems like everyone is at odds one way or another with change in themselves, and that, you know, dictates a lot of their experience.
But we hold on to something that's unchanging. We hold on to an idea. The idea doesn't change. Mm. And so we're fighting change the entire time. We're holding on to an idea of yourself. As soon as you think about yourself, you've halted change psychologically. Mm-hmm. Now you're holding on to this stagnant thing. It does not change. Right? And it's from the past. It's not even the present. So it's not even real. And so all of a sudden this change is happening and you're holding on to this idea of yourself, ignoring all of it. Right? And this is the problem with thinking about yourself, is that you can't. You can't, because you are change. You are change. How do you think about change? Which part are you thinking about? Is it already past? It is now. That's the reason we cannot think about ourselves in that way without causing conflict for ourselves.
Yeah.
It's immediately stagnant. It's like trying to cup the water in the river. Yeah. Right? And then you're like, all the waves are pushing around you and you're trying to hold your cup of water and it's splashing and it's doing all that. And you're, damn it. Ah! It's like, just let go.
Yeah.
It's not your water.
Yeah.
It's not your water. See, that's the thing. The thoughts aren't yours. They're thoughts.
Yeah.
They're thoughts. We get caught up in this idea that just because I'm having them, they're my thoughts. They're thoughts. If they were your thoughts, no one else could have them. Do you think you're the only person who thinks you're a bag of shit? Do you think you're the only person who thinks that they can't speak very well? Do you think you're the only person who thinks they can't create social media content? Do you think you're the only person who thinks any of these things? Of course not. Of course not. There are whole fucking books about common things that we all deal with. It's called the DSM, right? We look at it as categories of behavior, but what we're saying there is that there's an underlying commonality to what we're going through. Well, why is that? Because we're all one mind. So we're not dealing with our thoughts. We're dealing with thought. We're not dealing with our doubts. We're dealing with doubt. It's just that because we have to translate the experience of doubt through what we've experienced, it seems like our doubt. When I experience doubt, I relate that to Ray's story, Ray's experiences. When you experience doubt, you relate it to Andrew's experiences. But we are experiencing doubt in the same way that you are not experiencing your awareness and I am not experiencing my awareness. We are experiencing awareness. Right? One planet isn't experiencing different gravity than another planet. Yeah. They're experiencing gravity. There is a commonality here, and we forget this. And it's because we have this tendency of giving credit to people. And don't get me wrong, that's great. But on the other hand, is it? So here's my thought. And I was just going through this a second ago. You look at some of the insights that we have collectively, like Einstein's theory of relativity, you know, quantum physics, all of that. That came about relatively recently, right? But it also came about at a point where humanity was working together in a way that humanity had not before then, okay? The Industrial Revolution, all of that, like humanity started putting shit together. All of a sudden now there were rights and fucking laws that were made to protect people from certain acts of aggression, stuff like that. Whether you like it or not, it was still a step up from what had been happening for the thousands of years before. But because all of a sudden we're not so conflicted, there's the potential for thoughts that are more unifying. So all of a sudden, Einstein and other scientists all around the world started having more thoughts in the field of quantum mechanics. We also started questioning religion a lot more. We also started getting into acid and the entire philosophy thing that happened in the 1960s. And so all of a sudden, all of these people are like, oh, it's Timothy Leary, it's Terence McKenna, it's John Lennon. It's like, no, those are just points where the thoughts are surfacing. It's us collectively changing. These are just points where the fucking thoughts are surfacing. You are a point that the thoughts can surface. And why don't they? Because you're holding on to that stagnant little pool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like the that ball with the little spikes on the end. If everyone's a spike and it's like, how relaxed, how tense is that spike, allows for the, you know, thoughts to bubble through and bubble up and then be expressed. And a lot of that is like relaxation, I think, and just how at conflict am I with my experience, with myself, with what I perceive, what I perceive myself to be, because it's not even that. And anything, and it does, it feels like, holding something in the water, trying to grasp for water. And it's like, if I can't, it's like,
because the alternative is the flow.
Yeah.
The unending, constant flow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're reacting to it, that sucks. Mm-hmm. See, that's the point, right? That's why we hold on to it. We're like, mm-hmm. if I just block this off, now I'm going to be safe mm-hmm. within this fucking wall. And then there's nothing but batting against the wall. There's nothing but pressure against the wall. Now you have to hold up the wall. You got to build up the wall. You got to do all that. But the alternative is to just let go. Mm-hmm. And then you've got nothing but a torrent of information, insight, thought, doubt, fear, self-judgment, empathy, all of it. The whole fucking spectrum's in the flow. And if at any point you react and go, but me, there's your fucking box again. And immediately you're back in conflict. And it's such an interesting practice because it really is just not thinking about yourself, which is so interesting because we have this fear that if I don't think about myself, I'm not going to do things right. Like suddenly, if I'm not worried about every single thing I do, I'm going to go out and smack a bitch. You know, it's like, why would I do that? Like, why would I do that? But it's fear. It's fear that if I'm not in control, I'm going to do something wrong. And that, again, comes from a lot of our education. It comes from a lot of how we were raised. You got to act a certain way. You got to behave a certain way. There are rules. There's etiquette. There's a certain way that you talk to people and a certain way that you don't. That's all fucking
all of it.
Deep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, a certain way to do everything. Like, there's a right way. Like, I had someone tell me recently, like, yeah, but there's, you know, there's a right way to live. And that just like the culmination of that, like a right way to have a interaction, you know, the right way to do anything. Of course, that's going to get in the way. Of course, that's going to, feel like this stop, like this halt. And then I'll be like, oh my gosh, but like, what do I do? And it's pretty much like this morning it was hitting me just how much it's not asking, what do I do? Yeah. It's not asking like for someone to fucking tell me, someone to tell me what to do. It's like,
just for there to be an answer,
just some right, right thing. And I'll,
if there's a question, there's got to be an answer, right? And the answer is very soothing. There's no answer.
Yeah. There's no answer. And and so there's no way to even do it wrong either.
Because the whole thing's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, to even think that there's a right and a wrong way to live, that's not how nature works at all. Like, the entire point of natural selection is to just keep doing stuff. And if you survive, kudos.
Yeah. That's how they live. That's how that's everything lives, is just keep doing stuff. Yeah. And so, yeah, there's not necessarily a rhyme or a reason besides just what you put your attention into, besides just what you dig into, because just because you can, and just because there's an option to, and if you have a platform to express yourself, it's like, that's dope. That's really cool. That's a really cool opportunity to be able to just have an open-ended forum. Because the open-endedness of life, I think, has always been something that's, you know, shaken me. The open-endedness, as opposed to seeing it as just opportunity, as just an opportunity to see that reality isn't what it is. It isn't what we perceive it to be. Like the reality, the idea of reality that you have in your head, like that's not reality. Like that's not what it is. Like reality right now is in change. So this idea that, like, oh, we're in this technological age, you know, it's 2024 and there's all these things going on and there's, you know, the election year and blah, blah, blah. Like it's currently in flux, like in, and like, we don't know what 2028 could look like, you know, and it may look significantly different than this, but even just seeing that, it's like, that recognition that it's in change right now, that's like right now in everything, like how you live your life, how you spend your time, what you focus on, what you who you talk to, like it's all shifting and changing. And like we're an each of us is an expression, like each of us has the opportunity to be, to, you know, align with that change, the progression of that change, whatever that is, or to try and fight it and hold on to this idea of what we think is going on right now that goes very much hand in hand with our idea of how we think we're doing right now. And like the measurement, like where are we getting to, what's society becoming, and the measurement of yourself, like it's just judgment, it's just measurement, and that's for any situation. It's for yourself, and that's for the world, that's for other people. And without it, then, you know, you're paying closer attention to see what's actually going on instead of, you know, continuing to distract and to look away from what's actually going on.
See, everything you're saying is terrifying, right? Because that's the whole point, is that what you're saying is that fundamentally, there's no good or evil. And that scares people, because how do I stop bad people from doing bad things? Because the thought that there is a good and bad is very, very simplistic and very, very comforting. It's very comforting, especially if there is a good, then we just need more of that. Mm-hmm. We need more of that. Yeah. More good. More good. Maximize more of what I like. Good, more of what's measurable to me and the people that I like. Right? And that's the problem is that there is no greater evil than that which is done in the name of good. And it's because you have the best justification. Hitler had the justification of the master race, that we are as German people, we're destined, you know, to be superior, that we're genetically superior. Like there are a number of people out there who believe variations of this, and they're not all Nazis. You know, there's a number of people who look at themselves as, you know, the chosen superior, you know, ultimate people favored by God. Like these are all terrifying thoughts, right? But they're all very enticing, because it means that there's a good and there's an evil. And that means that you just got to get rid of that evil shit. Right. And that's the whole problem. Meanwhile, evil's like, what the fuck's your problem? I'm just doing my own thing over here. But you're not doing what we're doing. Do I have to? Yes, because it's good. That doesn't sound good. You know, and that's the point. Like, this is why I say, like, compassion eventually ends up becoming fascism. You know, like you can take compassion as a controlled means, and eventually it just starts putting people in corners, people who want to just have the right to be themselves, people who want to have the right to smoke cigarettes, for example. And all of a sudden, you know, you can't anywhere, you know, ever. don't even talk to me. You're a piece of shit if you smoke, you know, like that kind of thing. And it's just because there's now, because there's a public campaign against smoking. It's like, whatever happened to live and let live, right? Live and let live. That wasn't live and let live, you know, but make sure they're good people. You know, it's live and let live, let them be. Because we don't seem to recognize that those quote unquote bad people, the people we're so afraid of, are the people who think like us. They're the people that are identifying and looking for evil in others and good in themselves. And that's the problem. It has nothing to do with good and evil and everything to do with self-absorption and selfishness and a lack of empathy and a lack of like clarity. That's all it is. There's no good and evil. There's just distorted as fuck versus here and now.
That's it. Yeah. It's just the, And it's not like, oh man, cause that spectrum of good and evil, like it's just perspective. Like it doesn't, it's not even informative necessarily. Like it has to be cut down in like parsed out so simply and not seen that like all the events are informing each other. Like they're all informative. And so we'll just pick out certain spots just because it makes us feel more comfortable. It's like, oh no, this group, this period of time is good and this is evil. And it's like, yeah, but that evil thing was actually informed by a good thing. You know, there was something that led to that or a perspective that led to that. And so instead we'll like parse out that. And it's like, instead of seeing this flux and in response to just, yeah, whether it's selfishness or selflessness, we try and cut out the certain parts. It's like, yeah, but that part being all the way up there is informing that. And then you just want to cut out that part and be like, that's evil. But then it informs that. And so there's this constant sort of flow that isn't really about, it's like trying to control the flow, that flow of the up and down, trying to control it. Not that exactly. And like, I just want to get to that part and maintain that part. But then it becomes this sort of like really strange situation where, you know, you feel on the exterior like you're doing everything right or well, or trying to measure yourself based on that. But inside, you're brutally suffering like all the time. Like that. Yeah. And that's, I wonder that, like, how much, if you're trying to maintain comfort, there is going to be a reflective internal conflict just because of that flow, that up and down, versus, you know, if you are willing to let it, you know, play out, then this, it's not so much, and live not based on this self-absorption, then there is a flux still and up and down, but at least it's like your internal experience or your personal experience isn't so much at conflict. It's like the external plays out, but it's just, and again, it's just your willingness to, yeah, let go, not think about yourself so much, because it's informative, you know, around your whole life. You know, it's full circle, self-absorption, focus on yourself, and it, in like every way you spend your day. And so, you know, there's a balance, but at the same time, if you're good with your experience, like what sort of balance are you trying to strike with that? Like there isn't so much of a need to go back to fucking selfishness at all, ever. It's just, yeah,
just keep going.
Yeah,
it really is. But at first it seems daunting because you're so used to clinging to the walls, right? You're so used to reaching back to that idea of yourself. It's habitual, you know, like I was saying before, it's a lot like an itch that you just don't scratch. Mm-hmm. You just don't do it. You're like, but it's itchy. And you're like, don't do it. It's just going to get itchier, right? You're going to want to keep scratching. It's very much like a mosquito bite, right? Like, don't scratch it. It gets way worse, right? And that's hard at first. But then as it starts to heal, it's not, right? And that's very much the same point, right? Don't reach back to that idea of yourself, you know, because although you really want to, but how am I doing? What does this mean about me? Just don't. You don't know. You don't know. I mean, that's the whole point. Don't try not to reach for it. But every time you do reach for it, just go, right, I don't know. You know, and just take that on the chin. It's exactly how it feels like, right? Fuck. You know, and that's exactly it, because it's annoying. You have an addiction. You got to come to terms with that addiction. Like, you just get like, fuck, I just want another hit. And that's okay. That's okay. Just don't do it. As soon as you get that hit, go, right, it's a fucking placebo. Fuck. You know, and that's all you have to really do. And just do that over and over again. Eventually, you just stop caring. You stop looking for it. It stops dominating your life. Wanted to say, because the QR code is on the screen, that the mini retreat, California, it's coming up this week. In the week, it's about 7 days from today. If you would like to join us, please do so. But keep in mind, Patreon supporters get a huge discount. Tier 3 saves $350 on their ticket. Tier 2 saves $150. Tier 1 saves $50. And if you use code BIGBEAR150, that's all one word, BIGBEAR150, you can also save another $150, whether you're a Patreon supporter or not. If you are on Patreon and you have a Patreon code, use BIGBEAR150 with your code, and you will save an extra $150, which means you can save like $500 on this trip. And we really appreciate you being there. It's a chance to hang out, but it also helps Dualistic Unity continue on. These events are really important, in my opinion, because it really gives people the opportunity to get out of the cerebral space and to actually see the application of a lot of this. It's very hard for me to communicate what it is for me to experience life, but when you're hanging out with me, it's pretty fucking obvious. So it's the best thing that I can do in terms of just destroying whatever image you might have from these conversations, because it's really not what it is. Go and check out some of our cooking stuff, for example. We hang out. It's very light. But come to the retreat if you can, because we'd love to see you, and they're always a blast. And there's plenty of weed. I'll be rolling quite a bit. And we also microdose. So there's experiences, microdose, psychedelics, which is something I have a great deal of history with. So if you are interested in any kind of a psychedelic retreat, and you're not looking for something that's more in depth on the clinical side where it's huge fucking doses, this is definitely something that I would encourage you to try out for sure. But I'm going to pass this over to Andrew, as we have about 7 minutes left. Again, check out the retreat. We also have one coming up in Colorado in May, early June.
Yeah, that'll be at Cushcation.
Yeah,
run it back to that spot. That was was a fun one last year for sure. But California, and yeah, one week from right now, we'll be in California.
Yeah.
on our way to check in.
We'll be on the flight around this time.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's gonna be a fun journey, man. Check that out. Very excited for that one. Play some games, hang, and just chill out. Relax.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, because that's the point. All of this can seem very daunting. One last plug, of course, I just want to mention the Dualistic Unity Life Troubleshooter. Check that shit out. If you have a ChatGPT Plus account, you can go and check this out. It's really interesting. It is a ChatGPT of its own. It runs on ChatGPT's structure, and it is entirely trained by the insights that were shared in the first four seasons of Dualistic Unity. So when it talks to you, it keeps all of our shit in mind. It's great. It's a lot of fun. It's still a work in progress, but so far it has yielded just some incredible answers. If you give it a try, let us know how it goes. Check out our community Discord. I'll throw that up. You can go to dualisticunity.com/troubleshooter, by the way, and it will take you straight to the Dualistic Unity Life Troubleshooter. There's a QR code for our community Discord. If you are new to the show, definitely check out our community Discord, because we have like 1,000 people on there that are all having a pretty dope conversation about what it is to be yourself without the idea of yourself. So it's a lot of fun. So if you can't join us on Discord and you can't join us in a group or an event or anything like that, we appreciate you being here. But if you can, definitely reach out, because if you're having this conversation, I know exactly how hard it is. I know there's not a lot of people who want to get vulnerable with themselves and work on authenticity. Very much, you know, the common addiction is control and identity. So if you're questioning that and you're recognizing that, if you're becoming disillusioned and skeptical with all of these stupid paths that lead to a greater sense of self, definitely check out the podcast. We'd love to see it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And the community offerings there, Discord, but starting with the podcast, always a great place to start. And then getting into Discord and some of the Patreon groups, blast too. Because, yeah, people definitely want to maintain this sense of control. Like, a lot of people really think that control exists, you know, including myself a lot of times, and it doesn't at all. So yeah, it's fun once you start wondering just about the, you know, just about the world. Like any little thing, any little thread being picked, like for me it was religion in a lot of ways. Like as that started to wonder about, you know, yeah, it's like, I was still, you know, nominally Catholic, but it was, I was like, I don't really believe any of this stuff at all.
But just in case.
Yeah, straight up. And that's where most people are at, I think. It's like, just in case, I'm going to just hope there's that daddy in the sky.
Straight up. That is very much the common element. If you look at a lot of Christians, like if you have a Christian conversation, you talk about, you know, clarity versus weight, right? If you say like you like, we all know, like you get caught up in the idea of yourself, it's hard to fucking see anything clearly. And they're like, well, yeah, that's true. And it's like, yeah, so how can we have a conversation about God when we don't even know how to think clearly? Maybe we should do that first. Right. And that often works. Like that's a conversation that usually sits really easy with a lot of people because they can recognize that experience. Like they can recognize the experience of feeling super confused and lost in their thoughts versus not. Right. So it's like, okay, well, let's communicate there. Let's talk about that. And with a lot of believers, that works. You can actually have a conversation there because then it's not about what to believe. It's, are you sure we're believing in something that's coming from clarity? Are we looking at this in a way that comes from clarity? Or are we looking at this in a way that comes from fear? So we're just willing to grasp on to any oversimplistic idea. Now, all of a sudden, you're having a conversation about the nature of belief, about where we're coming from as a mentality. And that's a very different conversation than believers are used to having. Usually, they're just defending their belief. In this case, you're not asking them to defend their belief. You're asking, are you believing in something out of clarity? Because I sure as shit don't know if I am all the time.
Yeah.
So in that conversation, normally they'll give some ground, right? They'll be like, all right, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. A reasonable believer will actually have a conversation with you. Others, nope. If you don't believe, you're going to go to hell. Nope. You know, you watch, you'll see, you got to just give it up and believe. And it's just because there's a lot of fear. And so there's no ability to be reasonable because of that fear. It's because of that fear that they can't even look at the fear. And until they look at the fear, they can't possibly think clearly.
Oh man. If you're not willing to, if you're not willing to see that fear there, it's like, you'll come up with any point of view to avoid that, and just admitting that you're afraid, like just admitting that. But you know, because there are so many people who it won't even be an aggressive response, you know, it won't be like pitchforks, like, oh, believe this, gotta believe this, you know, you're going to hell if not. It can be just like a, you know, well, it's my belief, you know, let me believe what I want to believe. And like how common that is out there, just like, oh, let me believe what I want to believe. Because there is this assumption, like everyone believes something, like everyone believes something. Because it's like, if everyone's super afraid and no one's willing to admit that they're afraid, then you got to believe. Yeah. And it's like, you jump over that and then you try and believe in something. And, yeah, I know we're wrapping up on time here.
We are.
We're going to be on Patreon in about 15 minutes. 1 week free trial on tier two. There's merch. There's
all kinds of stuff. And if you join tier three, like I said, you get a sick discount. But there's also some hoodies and shit that you get like every 3 months, which we designed. And they're fucking awesome, in my opinion. One says, I do not have to justify anything to anyone ever. It's great because you don't. Anyway, we're going to wrap this up here. We'll see you on Patreon in 15 minutes. Otherwise, tune in tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern time for Dualistic Unity Real with Jackie and Amanda. Love that show. We'll see you soon.
Bye, everyone.